Such a good intro. So just all the energy in the world. Redline Drive. Check them out. Spotify, YouTube it's Music. Hyped. It's good. They're bringing like 80s hair band rock back, and I'm here for it. Hello and welcome,
baby,
to episode 120 of Wada Hockey, where we talk all things Texas hockey and the stories and culture that surround it. Plenty to go over today with the Dallas Stars and a little bit of the Allen American sprinkled in as well. But as always, make sure to follow us on all social media platforms, including Threads, which
yeah, baby.
I mean, it is what it is. Good for them. All at Wada Hockey. Before we dive in head first into the news, we've got the OG gang back on board today. So let's play a little catch up, starting off with the producer to the stars. Pat, what's up, man? How are you?
Hello. I'm doing all right. Trying to stay cool. Back to work this week. I took the entire week off last week, which was fantastic.
Oh, jealous.
We have been pool bums, kind of. My brother-in-law.
Yeah, beach bumming it.
Yeah, my brother-in-law built a pool. He was beaten into submission by sister-in-law and Steve to finally go in on one. It's a solid investment. We've been over there like 3 or 4 times already in like the 3 weeks that it's been available for use. So get some sun.
Is it above ground?
It is not above ground.
It's okay. Just all right, all good.
No, it's it's designed. They got some landscaping put in also. It's real, yeah. Real schnazzy.
I love the landscape.
I'll send you guys a picture next time. Next time we're over there, which I assume would be pretty soon, but
tomorrow.
Yeah, other than that, just back to work this week, which sucks. 4th of July was, you know, it is what it is. Fireworks are fun, but don't want to deal with going out and all that bullshit. So just chilling, man. Living the dream.
Yeah. Next up, Jason, you guys had a little bit of a nice little concert experience last week.
Wow, I totally forgot about that, huh?
I was not part of it. You guys were at the Blink-182 concert, the Tom DeLonge version, the best version of Blink-182. What was it like, boys? Did you guys cry? I cried for you, and I didn't go.
I actually did cry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did too. By the time Damn It came on, like whenever they were wrapping up, I had probably cried at least twice.
Dude,
when Mark kind of broke down during Adam's song.
Oh, Adam's song got me. I miss you got me. Stay Together for the Kids got me.
Oddly enough, like I was looking forward to sticking around for I Miss You, but I had to be.
Like, oh man, it was
fantastic.
And I couldn't wait any longer, and unfortunately I had to miss like the first 2 minutes of I Miss You, and then but
damn,
it's okay.
Well, Jason had primo seats.
Oh yeah.
Huge shout out to my buddy. I don't know. I don't want to name drop him because I don't know if the job would be in jeopardy.
Yeah.
But you know who you are, dude. My man, he's been hooking me up since the early aughts. He was always like, if you can get into the show, I can get you on the floor. And I was like, okay. And then hit him up, you know, the day before the show and was like, hey, man, you still doing that gig?
You still did the thing with the guy in the place and the thing?
And he was like, yeah. He's like, I'll be there tomorrow night. I was like, so will I and a bunch of friends. He was like, it's like some friends. I can do some friends, not everybody. So
a friend. Yeah, I'm glad you and Steven had a good time.
Yeah, dude, it was a blast. I had, as ABBA would say, I think, the time of my life.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was ABBA.
Not ABBA.
I don't think.
What was the movie Flashdance?
Yes, there we go. Was that Whitney?
I think so.
What, the movie? Yeah, it was totally Flashdance with the rain and the fold-up.
That is Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes, whoever those people are.
You know what? The name's not important. The song is.
Yeah, it's exactly. So there we go. Yeah, but I had a great time. Definitely will not forget that night.
Yeah.
And then Pat and Steve definitely hooked it up when we were at the bar before the game. What was the name of that place? Home?
Hero.
Yeah.
So four little words for the age, close enough.
I mean, pretty much the same words, right? Hero, home, it's all the same.
The one next to the AC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we went there beforehand. And then, you guys were pretty much, pretty much wrapped up at that time. And then you guys were going to go to the merch stand. And props to you guys for helping out snag the merch.
Oh, yeah. That line was actually really efficient. It only took, 10 minutes or so.
I was going to say, it wasn't that bad. Like, you guys were back within, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was not bad at all.
Yeah.
And, man, I did... Okay. Man, I'm going to, hijack this, and we're going to just blink recap. Shit, I could do an entire episode on this myself, so... But, the poster was pretty sick, and I didn't like it before the show started, so I was wasn't super excited about getting it. But the more I saw the artwork, I was okay. And by that time, it was already too late, and I couldn't get one. But the artist is going to put one up in 5 days, so he'll have his own copies up.
Oh, nice, nice. Dude,
some of the other cities though are so much better than Dallas. Absolutely. Is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The one in Seattle we saw, the hockey one.
Yeah,
the Colorado one was really nice. The Denver
there's
really
a bunch good. Of hockey themed ones.
Mm-hmm. Love that. And then you guys sent in the group chat today. I guess Mark was in a Blink-182 hockey jersey.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And that thing was it pretty, in Tampa?
That thing's pretty slick too.
Edmonton hooked him up with a jersey as well. They gave Mark, Tom, and Travis jerseys that said their number was 182, and it said Mark, Tom, and Travis.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
They were Oilers jerseys, so.
Definitely awesome. Trying to do the same for if you guys know of that little hockey show called Shorzy, the guy Dolo, he's a rap artist. He legitimately is a rapper outside of the show, and he was saying on I think Instagram he was looking for places to go on tour in the U.S. because he's up in Canada, and I commented Dallas. He liked it, so I sent him a message, and I was like, dude, if you end up in Dallas, I'm getting you a custom jersey, a water hockey jersey. Just why not? Shoot for the moon, and you'll land amongst the stars or whatever. But
fucking give it a go.
Yeah, give it a go. I do have some awesome, not news. It was an update of sorts. So there is a secret society that Jason and I are a part of. Pat, you're a part of it too. You came to one of these before.
Once, him.
Yeah. The fourth member of the podcast who is on location in California. That's why she's not on the podcast. But Shannon, we have been
kind of emptied the bank account to get her out there.
Yeah, we did our best. But she came out. She hit the ice with us for the first time, and I'll have to go pick the video up from her because she was the one that shared it on her Instagram story. And it was hilarious because we'd been trying to get her on the ice for what felt like at least 9 months, if not more. She hit the ice for the first time and the bench just lost their minds. Everyone went nuts because we'd been trying to get her out there, and she finally came out, did a great job. It was a lot of fun. And it just made it such an easy segue for me to talk about the fact that myself, Jason, you, and her were all sitting next to each other in the locker room. You look down. What do we have at our feet? The best bags in the game. The absolute most beautiful. I want to get the white bag so bad.
Dude.
And those bags, of course, are the Conway and Banks bags, baby.
That white bag is very sick. Like I told you, my buddy Jessica Pylons has it. And every time he puts that thing down next to me, I get envious. Even though I have the Mighty Duck green one.
Also great.
That white one is absolutely stunning. But guys, if you are wanting to get one of those sick bags, head over to conwayandbanks.com. They make premium quality bags. They're built to last. They have the removable organizer, so you can keep your shin guards separated from your skates, from your elbows, from your cup. You all know you need to keep it away from that smelly thing. So it helps keep everything all protected with those removable organizers. It's also got the giant vents on the side that keep all your gear nice and cooled off and well ventilated. So, not to mention, it's got that awesome foot mat. And that's my best. That's my favorite feature on there. So if you want to get one of those dope ass bags, head over to conwaybanks.com, use code WHATAHOCKEY10 and get your gear. Oh, wait, you'll get 10% off your order.
Yep.
Then, yeah, you'll just be supporting the show as well. And then you can get your gear to the rink in I went a little off script there.
And you could No. I like it. It was good.
It's called improv.
Shaking the rust off a little bit.
Yeah. It's all right.
We're getting back in the groove. We might be bi-weekly now for the summer, I think, until things get going. That's fine by me. We're right back in the thick of it, though. Some really cool news. Obviously, you guys have heard about us talk about third line draft. I am happy to report, have officially announced an August date for North Texas, specifically DFW, at the NITEX Sports Center, August. I believe it's the 25th, 6th, and 7th. Right?
Oh, Jesus. 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah, so they are coming to town. I am going to be there. We may be doing like a live draft party recording, some odd thing, maybe just doing some content, maybe doing some on-the-spot interviews with people that are coming in from out of town or friends of ours that are playing from in town. We have posted some stuff on our social media about it. I will be sharing the link on the WADA Hockey page as soon as we get done with this, if I remember. I've shared it on my page, but head over to thirdlinedraft.com, get signed up today. Remember, that is 3rdlinedraught.com to get going and join us. Let's have some fun. Have a little booze, have a little brewskis. And then all of the fees will get you 5 guaranteed games on Saturday and Sunday, as well as a full uniform kit. So make sure to head over to thirdlinedraft.com, get signed up today. Also, do not forget, even though it is a blistering like 108 outside and the heat index is like 116, because why not? Don't forget to get your sauce toss. Head over to saucetoss.com. Use code WATASAUCE for 10% off your entire order. And that's hashtag bags for beauties. Got a couple of extra ones in the garage, just trying to figure out a way to do a little giveaway for you guys. So definitely stay tuned for that, because there is a giveaway coming. And last, but certainly not least, I shared with the boys before we got started, we're working on a fun little new partnership with a company called Nice Mitts. They are a company that is designing hockey gloves. And I think this is going to be a huge hit with like hockey parents and their kids, because they're designing some of the first ever hockey gloves that you can actually throw in the washer and not have to worry about your gloves getting ripped to shreds. That is, we talked with Oki, the guy who started the company, and he gave us a little insight on going through a couple of different manufacturers to make sure he found the glove that fit him the best. And felt like it would be the best for everyone out there to use. And my favorite part about this company, if you go to Nice Mitts, all one word on Instagram, check them out. They have the link for their store there. I believe it's nicemitts.com. Check it out, because they not only make hockey gloves, they also do like lifestyle clothing. So they do have some hockey tees that have, you know, little sayings here and there, the Nice Mitts logo, but they also have very much like, I don't want to say like a knockoff of Lululemon, because they're kind of their own thing, but very much like styles type clothing, activewear. So if you want to go to the gym and still represent the sport.
Athleisure.
Athleisure. Exactly. That's the kind of stuff that they make. So head over to their website, check them out. We might be doing some more work with them in the very near future. Now that the first part of the show is out of the way, we have so much news to catch up on, because last time that we talked, it was before free agency really got going. I believe we had announced that Evgeny Dodonov had signed a new deal to stay with Dallas. But before we dive into all of the Stars' free agency moves, the Americans have been quite active as well, as they have signed a one-year extension with the Ottawa Senators to remain the ECHL affiliate through the 2023-2024 season. The Sens also announced the re-signing of goaltender Kevin Mandelis. That's going to be a two-year, two-way deal. Mando played a handful of games in Allen last season, including in the Kelly Cup playoffs. So that's really excited to have him back. Hopefully we'll see him back in Allen, mostly for selfish reasons, because he's an absolute wall in net. But let's be honest, hopefully he makes it back to the NHL again. He got a little sip of coffee in the show last year, so obviously wish nothing but the best for him. The Americans also continue to add to their roster as they officially signed defender Matt Brassard, whose rights were acquired from the Savannah Ghost Pirates. Unreal uniforms for the Ghost Pirates, by the way. Brassard had 2 points in 8 games with the Ghost Pirates after wrapping up his 4 years of college hockey with the University of Prince Edward Island in Canada. And lastly, and most recently, we were talking literally like an hour and a half ago, the Americans have officially re-signed Liam Finley for the upcoming ECHL season. That's a huge return. The guy had 70 points last year in his rookie season, behind 33 goals and 37 assists. So Americans are starting to make some moves. They're starting to add some guys back. They joined Colton Hargrove, the captain, who was the first signing announced here in the offseason. And they will definitely be announcing more and more guys coming to the team in the coming weeks, months, leading up to puck drop in October. The Americans will also be taking on the Tulsa Oilers in NYTEX. A lot of stuff going on in NYTEX. So that is October 13th, Friday the 13th. And that's in NYTEX, nice. North Richland Hills. Check out the Americans website to get tickets, and we will probably be scouring the hallways of NYTEX, aka the shoebox. So make sure to check it out. Should be a fun time. We went to their preseason home. I don't think that they had more than one home game, so we'll just say the preseason home game. Last year, had a good time. It was on the practice rink there at the Allen Event Center, Cut-X, whatever. And it was a good time. So it'll be really exciting for them to be in a full-fledged arena outside of their own here in North Texas. So make sure to head over to AllenAmericans.com to get tickets today. Now, we have got some catching up to do, boys, because the Dallas Stars just wrapped up their developmental camp on July 4th, Independence Day, actually, after a 4-day stint. It's likely that we will see a large group of those skaters make their way to Cedar Park beginning next season with the Texas Stars. A few standouts, here's a surprise: Logan Stankoven, Maverick York, and Liam Bixel. And the only reason I say Liam Bixel is he did not get to skate. He suffered a broken ankle playing earlier this year and is still recovering. But he met some of the future teammates of his. So the team was really excited to have him there at the practice facility, Comerica in Frisco. I think that's going to be a big move. I think he's going to be someone that we are going to be keeping an eye on once he gets healthy. Wouldn't surprise me to see him in Cedar Park as well. But yeah, so moving on from that, it's what everyone wants to talk about. It's the free agent signings. So we'll start off, see how you guys feel. I'm going to ask for your grade. Well, we'll say A through F, and you can throw pluses, you can throw minuses in there. Jason, first guy up, that would be right winger / center Craig Smith, who was signed for a 1-year, $1 million deal. Definitely a depth signing. How do you feel about Craig Smith, Jason? And it's okay if you haven't done research, because quite honestly, I don't think any of us really know or knew who this guy was. I even reached out to, he played with the Capitals most recently, and I reached out to a buddy of mine who's a Caps fan, and he was like, I don't even know who that is. So Jason, just snap judgment, 33-year-old right wing center, Craig Smith, grade A through F. I think you're muted, Jason.
Sorry, I coughed earlier and definitely totally forgot I had that off.
It's okay. Welcome back. You're good.
All right. Cool. So Craig Smith over here, solid dude. If I do say so myself,
he's handsome.
But yeah, I'm going to give this
B+. I know it's tough. Okay.
B plus.
Okay. Yeah.
U.S. guy, so that's always solid.
Yep. I think signing that kind of tries to replace Luke Glendening, who is now right with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Ugh. And 6 points in 22 games last season is
right. Only 12 minutes on ice per game, though.
That's true. He was definitely the fourth line guy.
Yeah, I was going to say fourth line. Yeah.
Craig is definitely a fourth line guy. Pat, I'm gonna switch it over to you with a new, much younger addition. He used to play for the Wild on the dark side. He has seen the light. Sam Steele, center left wing, signed for 1 year, $850,000. He will be a restricted free agent after this season. Only 25 years old. How do you feel about that signing, A through F? You're on the clock.
I give it a. You said 850,000 1 year.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, B minus.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with some depth, and he is at least more productive than Craig.
Craig.
He is. 12% shot percentage. Right at 50 on faceoff wins. For $850,000, that's not bad.
No, not at all. And like I said, he's only 25 years old. And when you think about, like, basically the grand scheme of this team, you look at guys that are younger than him, and there are very few. Thomas Harley, Nils Lundqvist, Miro Heiskanen, Jake Oettinger, Jason Robertson, Wyatt Johnston, and Ty Dellandrea off the top of the dome. Realistically, like, he's younger, so it's nice having a little bit of youth there, because you never know. Maybe he gets put on that bottom line and plays his way up to the third line and shows that he has a little bit more in the tank than maybe we realized when we signed this kid. And, you know, $850,000, it's kind of a low risk, high reward move. So, this next one, really, really interesting to me. I'm going to go back to you, Jason, because you specifically play defense most of the time. And this guy, we signed him right out of college. He's been in the Stars system before. But what really surprises me is they signed him to a one-way deal, even though he spent a lot of time in the AHL. That's Gavin Bayreuther, signed for a one-year, $775,000 contract. I don't quite get it. I listened to the Spits and Suds podcast today. I'll kind of make their point known after you give your grade, but it makes a little more sense how they explained it. But Jason, what is your grade for that signing?
Specifically for Gavin here, I'm going to give him a solid. I'm going to give this particular pickup a C. It's got to be a C. I feel like they're working with somebody that they kind of know already a little bit, who's been in the organization, whether it was even at the AHL level, the AHL level, or on the professional level for like almost 20 games a few years back. So I think they kind of know what they're getting with him, and they have like a certain expectation for him. So it's not, yes, okay, a one-way deal may kind of look bad, but I mean, at the end of the day, he's going to chew up some minutes for you on the fourth line. So, dude,
I can hear it in your voice. It's a little confusing.
Fill the roster spots.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to, at the end of the day, you still have to fill roster spots. You can't have empty spaces there. Like Taylor Swift said, she's got a blank space here, and she'll write your name, dude. And so I think that's just what they did.
Oh my god,
you got to fill the roster, man.
It's like she's a disease.
You're not going to escape it, man. This is the herpes.
I can't.
You're not going to
escape it. I can't escape it. Okay, so I listened to the Spits and Suds podcast today with Sean Shapiro, Gavin Spittle, both guys we've had on this podcast before, both awesome dudes. When they explained a little bit more the reason that they believe Gavin Bayreuther was signed to this team, it made a lot more sense. And for me, it bumped that initial C up to like a B minus, maybe even just a solid B. Yanni Hakanpaa has had some health issues towards the end of the season, right? And if those health issues do kind of stick around towards the beginning of this next season and they possibly put him on LTIR, it's going to be great to have that extra cap space just in case something even bigger happens. But Gavin Bayreuther is an NHL experienced defenseman. He's comfortable, like we said, in the star system, even though Pete DeBoer and the coaching staff are all completely different. So let's say Hakanpaa is healthy. Gavin Bayreuther is a very easy waiver. Throw him out there. He will probably clear. And if he does, then you send him down to the AHL, where they're going to have a lot of young guys. Now, we're not going to talk too much about the Texas Stars today, but there are a lot of guys on that Texas Stars roster that have signed elsewhere. So like Ben Gleason, that was one of them. I'm trying to think of Tufte. He's out. He's now with Colorado. So there are a lot of key pieces that the Texas Stars are not going to be going into next season with because of the youth movement that is now making their way into Cedar Park. So it does make sense. It makes it a little bit more of an intelligent signing once you factor in the possibility of a more experienced defenseman going back down to Cedar Park, like a Gavin Bayreuther, who has played with the Texas Stars as well as the Dallas Stars, to kind of help those younger kids get a better feel, not only for the AHL game, but for the NHL game and maybe just the Stars system in general and how everything works and how their clock ticks. So that was kind of the reasoning that I saw behind the Bayreuther signing when Gavin and Sean kind of broke it down a little bit more. So I think it made a little bit more sense once they said that. But again, we'll see. We got to make sure everybody's healthy. Pat, I'm going to switch it over to you for this next one. Actually, I'm just going to say Derek Puljo, he is an AHL signing. There's really
9 games AHL last season.
Yeah, I can't really grade that one, and he's 29, so he is on the back end of his career. So I'm not gonna make us grade that one. I think it's a good another veteran signing for Cedar Park to kind of fill in those gaps of that veteran leadership that they need. So, this next one though, I am gonna heavy grade, and it's not an NHL signing. It is an AHL signing, and that is goaltender Matt Murray. What grade do you give that? And there is a reason that I ask that.
I don't know. That's tricky, because while he did his best when he was filling in for Otter, I don't think his best is NHL ready yet.
Right.
So at the AHL level, I think he's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, to keep him in Cedar Park, I'd probably give it, you know, just a B+.
Yeah.
Now, if the intent is to bring him up to the NHL at some point, that's like a C-. I don't know that he has the characteristics necessary to be a solid backup.
Right. Now, the reason that I wanted to bring him into the fold is mostly because, let's face facts, last year Scott Wedgwood's health was a major concern. He missed a very large amount of time through kind of midway through the season. Not to his fault. Like, I mean, if you can go, you can go. If you can't, then obviously, you know, take care of your body so you can have a long-lasting career. But that forced Jake Ottinger to play way more games than I think that front office ever intended him to play. So as it stands, there are a couple of NHL proven goalies that are unrestricted free agents. So that's something that I think we might want to keep an eye on as we get closer to training camp. Because if you throw, I don't have any names off the top of my head, but just pick a random unrestricted free agent goalie that's on the market right now. Pick any of them. Say that the Stars sign them to a one for one. Maybe it's a two-way deal, regardless. Maybe it's a one for 850, one for 775. They have to work some stuff around because they do only have $582,000 in cap space right now. So it'll be very interesting to see kind of what manipulation they will make. Mind you, Ty Dellandrea is still a restricted free agent. He is not signed. So they're going to have to make some moves to make that work. But say you have that NHL proven goalie go down to Cedar Park, play alongside Matt Murray. And if Matt Murray can play and take that starting spot, then as that veteran goalie, you can be a solid backup, much like Anton Khudobin did last year before getting traded to Chicago. And then you kind of help mentor them, or you play so well that they have to kind of give you a look just in case Scott Wedgwood does get hurt again. And you need that NHL proven goalie, because that's really where we struggled last season is Matt Murray. Like you said, when he was brought up and thrown into the NHL, you could see that he wasn't quite as comfortable as he could have been or should have been. You can argue either way. Remy Poirier, you've got him through 25, 26 when he becomes a restricted free agent. Send him down to Idaho. Let him play a majority of those games, because at that age, he's only 21. He was also at the developmental camp. He needs to get as much experience as possible. He needs to carry a heavy load, as does Matt Murray. Matt Murray, being a little bit older, he can carry that load at the AHL level. Remy Poirier has time to mature, time to get better. Matt Murray is in that age where he should be about as good as he's going to be. He may hit a little bit of a ceiling. He may have already hit it. I don't know. But at the end of the day, you kind of have to have a solid backup plan for the backup plan that is Scott Wedgwood. So that's kind of why I'm like interested that they sign him. But I'm also curious to see if they do throw another veteran goalie in the mix to see that they may take some time away from Scott Wedgwood if needed. So, all right, this one's for both of you guys. It's the last one that we're going to talk about today. Actually, I want to talk about one more. This is a personal one. Joel Hanley, 2-year, $787,000 deal. He had offers from other teams for longer terms and more money. He took less for short here. So I don't know, like, obviously I have a little bit of bias. He was the first active star that we've ever had on the podcast. He's been extremely kind with his time. He always talks to us. He's a very personable guy. So I may have a little bit of a vested interest in that one. But for me, I think it says a lot about him, and it says a lot about the organization that he wanted to take a smaller deal for less time just to stay in Dallas. And they brought this, or somebody brought this up too. If you go and look, or if you were on social media that day and you go and look at like Tyler Seguin's story, Jake Ottinger's story, they're all sharing and congratulating Joel Hanley on his new contract. You don't see that a lot with role guys, where like your top stars are excited that a seventh defenseman has decided to stay in Dallas. So I think that one says a lot about him, and two, it says a lot about the culture that they have in the locker room here at Dallas, because really, I think that's a big thing. And like, credit where credit's due. Hanley was thrown in the fire during the playoffs when Colin Miller kind of lacked a little bit, which he was traded off to New Jersey for a draft pick. And that was obviously for cap space. And we thank Colin Miller for his time and his service. I really like his sticks. I have two of them now, but Joel Hanley was literally thrown in to the highest pressure scenarios and did extremely well. He did better than that guy, Ryan Suter, but that's for another day. So the last one, obviously, it's no surprise. 1 year, $3 million deal, Matt Duchene. Patrick, I'm going to ask for your grade first, and then Jason, be ready.
Honestly, it always stings to have, bringing somebody over from the radioactive cat piss yellow predators, bringing somebody over from the wild, it stings.
Oh, but yeah.
56 points last year.
Mm-hmm. He had 86 the year before that.
Yeah. And plus 38 and plus 32 on both is solid. And if he can anchor the third line and keep up his scoring, like Pav's line with the daddy daycare line,
mm-hmm.
which is still intact.
Yep.
Thanks to dad staying around. Dad didn't go. He went to go get milk and actually came back.
He came back.
But if he can anchor the third line and, he's got veteran presence. He's 32 years old.
Yep.
If it seems like I'm just reading a stat sheet, it's because I kind of am. But but if we can have three solid lines that are capable of scoring, the fourth line becomes a nice to have from a scoring perspective and can focus on forecheck and grind them out defense and offensive pressure, then we're in a pretty solid position. So I like the signing. I give it an A-.
Okay. Room to grow. I like that.
TBD on results. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to ultimately be the same thing though around with all of these people, honestly. But I'm going to echo what you said, but I'm going to give it an A, man. This is your classic stars going out getting Pabs, who used to be the asshole thorn in our side, but now he's on our team and now he gets to be the thorn in other people's side.
Yep.
So this is your Corey Perry that we've done with this before. He asshole when he's out when you're playing against him, but you want him to be on your team, so he's that asshole to other teams. This is the classic situation, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. I think this is an era of the stars that we're going to look back on. And this is an era where I think you can look back on and say, I think this management went all out and they did what they could with the resources they had. I think this is a team who's actively trying to compete and not make short of this run, this run short. They're trying to make this thing last, I think. And keep it as hot as possible.
I agree. I do want to bring up the wild fact that Matt Duchene, who is, in my opinion, much more valuable offensively and maybe all around than Corey Perry, is making $1 million less than Corey Perry. Corey Perry mm-hmm. signed a 1 year, $4 million deal in Chicago after they acquired his rights from the Lightning. Matt Duchene, 1 year, $3 million. I think the thing that people are going to get a little upset about and may have already been upset about is that not only does Matt Duchene have a 1-for-3, Max Domi also has a 1-for-3 in Toronto, which is kind of interesting. Now, I love Max Domi. I loved him before he came to Dallas. I loved him when he was here. I may try to get that jersey at a very steep discount because now they're going to be on sale. But, I may love Matt Duchene more by this time next year. So that's TBD. I also give it an A. I think that he's going to be a valuable piece to this team. I think he's going to do a lot more than I think we expect. The fact that he can shift over to wing or play center is going to be extremely valuable. And it's, again, it's a low risk, high reward situation. So,
right.
Those are the types of offensive players that this organization has targeted, guys that can play, that can take faceoffs with some decent level of success, but also they don't have to. You can have the 1A, 1B in the faceoff circle, which there's been such a big emphasis on. If you control the puck on a faceoff, whether you're offensive or defensive zone, mm-hmm. that's an advantage no matter what.
I just want to go down, this is just maybe I'm fluffing our feathers here a little bit. Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, Rupe Hintz, Jason Robertson, Mason Marchment, Joe Pavelski, Radek Foxa, Matt Duchene, Evgeny Dodonov, Craig Smith, Wyatt Johnston, Sam Steele, possibly Ty Dellandrea. And then if you look at it, possibly Maverick Bjork and Logan Stankoven. We are deep at the forward. We are so deep in the forward position. That sounded weird, but... Holy crap. Like, I mean, here's my last thing before we move over to the hot takes. I asked some of the French fries for hot takes today, and we got quite a few that we need to go through, and we'll see if they're...
We got a lot of good ones on there.
We did. Yeah, we did. Huge shout out to the French fries today. I kind of thought about it last minute and was like, I'm just going to throw it out there, see what sticks. And we got quite a few good ones, and we'll go over which ones are ice cold and which ones are flaming hot. But something... It feels like something else is in the works, because our biggest issue in the playoffs, well, there was two. One, Yanni Hakanpää. And I'm glad you said that, because we lacked physicality. Yanni Hakanpää is a direct result of lacking physicality, because he didn't hit people. And I've been put on record many a time saying I wish he would hit people. We also did not address the defense almost at all. And not to take anything away from Joel Hanley, but he was a part of this team last year. Gavin Bayreuther is, in no offense, he's not an upgrade. He doesn't solve anything. So for me, I have to think that there is something more at play, because we have so many forwards at the NHL level with the addition of Craig, you know, the re-signing of Dodonov, Sam Steele, Matt Duchene. It feels like Jim Neal is loading up the forward position because he knows he's going to be offering up these guys in some sort of package deal. You know, a name that's been thrown around a little bit, it's not a bad contract, but again, he does have a no-trade clause. Or a modified no-trade clause, rather. He has a 10-team no-trade list. It's Mason Marchment. It's a $4.5 million deal. Through 25-26, he becomes an unrestricted free agent in 26-27. He had a really, really good start to the season last year, and then he kind of became invisible. And I don't know how long that leash is, and there are other teams that could use his service that have the cap space. Now, can we get a defensive player in return for him? I don't know. But that's just a name, in my personal opinion, maybe keep an eye on. Maybe, you know, maybe he just doesn't fit into this regime. I'm clearly speculating here. So, like I said, just something to kind of... I know.
Right.
Just something to kind of keep an eye on. They do have a lot of forwards. They do have depth at forwards in the AHL level. They have a lot of guys knocking at the door. You know, the prospects that are wanting to be a part of this organization at the NHL level. So I think we all kind of want to see some of them up next year, but, you know, that's TBD. So the Stars had a great free agency. Overall, I think they did extremely well. I think, you know, there was room for improvement. There still is room for improvement at the defensive end. So we'll see what happens here for the rest of the offseason. We also know that Jim Neal is the kind of guy that waits till a trade deadline and then makes a splash. You look at Max Domi and Dodonov. Those were two names that we got last year that they instantly made an impact on this team. I also shout out Dennis Kurianov. Now he is on the Nashville Predators. Nashville enjoy a guy who is really fast and can't score because he doesn't really care enough to try. Moving on. All right. So like I said, hot takes. We are going to go just right down the list. And I think we should either say that these are ice cold or they are flaming hot like the Cheetos. Actually, they're volcano style. Shout out to Taco Bell for bringing back the volcano menu. God, it's so good. First one. Miro with 75 assists and 90 points. Do you guys think that is ice cold or volcano hot? Patrick, hit me. 75 assists, 90 points.
Ooh, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
If we can get a solid right-handed defenseman to play with him, I don't know. That one's tough.
It really is.
It's not that far off from his totals last season, but that was like an eruption. So
now last year he had 62 assists and 73 points. So
yeah,
I mean, that's a big bomb. I'm
gonna put another like 10 plus 15% on the board. You're asking for another 15%.
Yeah, that's a pretty big increase from an already pretty incredible season. I don't know, man. I think it's lukewarm.
I think that's exactly what I was thinking.
I think it's possible. Is it likely? I don't know. Is it possible? I could see it.
Yeah. The only reason I think it's lukewarm with the 90 points is the goal scoring. He had 11. And so it's definitely, it's lukewarm. I think it's doable. It's doable.
It'd be pretty sweet if it happened.
Jason, I'm going to put you on the spot for this one. More defensive zone checking. Ice cold or volcano hot?
Do I think we need it? Absolutely. Will we see it? Yes. So give me, I'm going to say yes, man.
Okay, volcano hot then.
Maybe not volcano hot. Maybe we're...
Maybe like a mild sauce?
Yeah. Diablo.
Oh, that's like the hottest one.
Yeah,
I guess volcano is technically supposed to be hotter. That's
supposed to be the hottest, right?
We'll go with that. Okay, so I'm going to go with ice cold, guys. I just don't see it. Now, and the reason I say that is because if Lundqvist comes in and plays like we hope he does, because we gave up a first and second to get this guy, for him to only play a handful of games compared to the other defensemen on this team, I think it was like 60, somewhere around there. It was not a lot compared to, you know, everybody else. He's not a physical guy. He's, I don't want to say small, but he's kind of small. So I don't know. I just don't see this team with the defenseman that we have right now becoming more physical. I don't know. That's me personally. I think the regular season, this defense is fine. Come playoffs, concerning. Patrick, going over to you. Okay. The Stars will be the highest scoring team in the league.
Oh, boy. Highest scoring in terms of goals? Or highest scoring in terms of winning the President's Cup?
I'm going to go with goals. Let's go with goals. They're going to be the most potent offense in the league.
That is interesting. Let's see.
I'm going to go snap judgment. Volcano hot. I think you got Jason Robertson coming off a record-setting year. Joe Pavelski is going to be completely healthy. I think you've got Dodonov for an entire season, ideally healthy. Wyatt Johnston, comfortable. He's got a full year under his belt. He can only get better, knock on wood. And let's not forget, you have Roope Hintz. You have Matt Duchene now, who is at least going to put up 25 to 30 goals, if not more.
I'm trying to think who's going to top it, and so, there's not too many contenders out there who I think have the same sting that the Stars currently have.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it didn't get any worse than last year.
You're forgetting we don't have what one key team in the scoring race does have.
Right.
And that would be one Connor McDavid. And also, secondarily,
Leon Draisaitl. Yeah.
I mean, they were... Boston won how many games? 64?
Yeah.
Right.
And they were still 24 goals behind Edmonton.
Okay.
I get it. I get it. Now.
Okay. Point. Ding. Okay.
I don't know. That's good. I think it's going to be a battle. I still think that this team has this particular forward lineup has every reason to think that they can be the highest scoring team in the league.
Now, if the take had been top five, yeah, I would have agreed with that.
Easy.
Totally. Because we were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th last year, which is really good.
Yeah. I think we are going to improve.
We're going top five. Yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
You could definitely give me top five.
Yeah.
And I think as long as this goaltending can hold up and defense isn't completely just trash and doesn't shit the bed, because I mean, ultimately that's what's going to keep the scoring up, is like the momentum in the game is going to have to carry the offense as well. So as long as you're not giving up shit goals and blowing coverages, there's no reason that this team can't be a top three scoring team.
Yeah. And again, something else to take into account is this is really a very similar team to last year, personnel wise, on the ice. And they are going to be all in on Pete DeBoer's system because they did so well in the regular season. So I think they only get better because they are more comfortable.
My one hope for next season is that we can figure out how to score if the middle is clogged. That was a huge issue against Vegas. They just shut down in front of the goalie and put, you know, 3-4 guys in front of him at all times, and we just couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
So I hope we find a solution for that next year. It's not as much of a factor in the regular season because you can't feasibly play that style for 82 games, but
yeah.
Man, come playoff times, that Vegas defense was just stifling.
Yeah, they suffocated the Stars.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next one, Wyatt Johnson solidifies himself as the second line center and puts up 40 plus goals and 60 plus points, with Duchesne picking up the third line with 50 points. I like it. I mean, I don't want to put too much on Johnston, you know, but look at Robo's sophomore year. Look what he just did.
Yeah, this is Johnston. This is true sophomore season, right?
Yeah, this is Johnston's sophomore year. So I think, you know, mentally Johnston's going to be much more comfortable. I think he's going to be like in the mindset of, oh, I've been here before. I know what to do. And he's going to be more trusting of his line mates, assuming that it's the daddy daycare line.
I would, the only thing that I don't agree with in that take, because I agree on Duchesne putting up 50. That's not out of the realm of possibility.
Especially with Mason and Sagan there.
Yeah. Yeah, he can. I see 50 for him pretty realistically. The only thing I disagree with is 40 goals. That's a high bar.
It is a high bar.
I could see 60 points.
He's going to have a lot of assists.
Yeah, I think he's got more primary and secondary assists than he does goals.
Fine by
40 is a lot.
40 is a lot.
Fine by
me. I mean, at the end of the day, Wyatt's great, but we're not talking Robo here, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if he hit 30, I'd be super impressed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Not that the 22 or whatever he put up last season was not impressive as a 20-year-old, 19-year-old. Like, the dude,
true.
The dude
true
has
rookie of
something.
The year. True rookie of the year.
Yeah, fucking
man, I hate
that the Calder seems to be decided like 3 months into the season. They were saying Matty Beniers pretty early on.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help that we're a quote unquote small market, even though we're the third largest media market in the fucking country.
Yeah, I think we're just kind of have to deal with that because they're not going to recognize it. And that's fine. And we'll just go win the Stanley Cup. More in-season injuries, in parentheses. We got lucky last year. Might mean we end up a lower seed, but with a strong trade deadline could still make the finals and win the whole enchilada. My only argument to that is we did get pretty lucky, but we also lost Wedgwood. And again, like we said earlier in the podcast, that was a major reason that Ottinger got just literally physically exhausted in the playoffs. So I think it's a solid take. I do hope, knock on wood, that we do have the luck of, you know, having very minor injuries throughout next season. But I don't know. I don't feel like we did get as lucky as this person may have thought. That's just my take. This next one though, I'm curious what you guys think. Rupe, 100 points, Hart finalist. Yes or no?
Oh boy.
I mean, as it stands, the two guys that have the longest contracts with the Stars are Rupe Hintz and Miro Heiskanen. So,
which is fantastic.
It is amazing. Yeah, man. Literally almost the exact same deal. 8.45. Yeah,
and both deals are absurd.
Yeah. Especially with the cap going up. But what do you guys think? Rupe hits 100 points and is a Hart finalist? Man, are they just going to take turns on that line where Robo got it last year? Now Rupe's like, okay, my turn.
And then,
or they could both do it.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was going to say, why do we have to stop there?
And they were roommates.
Are we
going to be looking at, you know, a 275 point line? Like,
God, jeez.
What is the most points? I don't even know how I would go about finding it.
I don't know how you look that up.
I just remember the Flames when we played them in the first round. I think it was my boy Matty Tkachuk, and I can't remember who else was on the line with him, but they were two 100 plus point scorers. Or I think it might have been three even. But just to put things into perspective for the Rupe gets 100 points, he had 75 points last season, 37 goals, 38 assists. Pavelski had more points than Rupe at the end of the season. He had 77 because he had 49 assists and 28 goals. Mm-hmm. Robo, 46 goals, 63 assists. So it's quite possible, but I think it's going to come down to the offensive scheme that DeBoer puts this top line with, because obviously Robo was your guy, right? Like they all scored goals. But Robo was your machine with that 46 goal mark. You know, he almost had 10 more goals than Rupe, and the assists is really where it was at. 63 assists for Robo, 49 for Pavs, 38 for Hintz. So maybe
that's also like at a 9-game disadvantage too, because Rupe only played 73.
That's a good point. That's a really, really good point. Okay, so factor that in.
Add another point per game, at least.
I think that's fair. Point per game, that's fair.
We're looking at 83 points. Yeah, 82.
So, okay. Even then, 18 points away from 100. I think we've seen it in this league. You've got to score at least 115 to 120 points to even be considered for the Hart. Like, simple as that. So, I don't want to say it's ice cold.
It's a reach.
It's a little drafty. Stars were close and now look better. So the ceiling is as high as it gets. I don't know if that's really a hot take. I just wanted to put that in there because you're right. Stankoven makes the opening night roster and puts up 35 plus points. That one is interesting.
That's
because who do you bump?
That's a hot take, I think. I would love to see it, but I just, the roster makeup as it currently stands, I just don't know if it's possible.
Right. And does he maybe have to, if he wants to see some playing time in the NHL without injury, are we going to have to transition him to a wing, you know, to a wing side?
I think he's probably,
I don't know. I don't necessarily think so, because you do have a lot of centers as it stands. You could throw Sagan, Ben, Rupe, Foxa, Duchesne, Smith, Steele, Johnston, Delandria. All of those guys can play center. You've got a lot of guys that can shift on the outside. So I think that if he plays himself into the roster on opening night, it might have to be on the bottom line. But you know what? I'm not mad at that. Because you go from Luke Glendening, who was arguably starting to get slow. He was a face-off specialist, but he was getting a little slow. Imagine a fourth line goes out there and you've got another rookie phenom type guy in Logan Stankoven anchoring your fourth line. And he can score on a dime. I don't think he gets 35 plus points. I think 30 is a bit of a reach as well, but I think 30 is a benchmark, because Wyatt Johnston got 41. But Wyatt Johnston also played with a resurgent Jamie Benn and then eventually a Dadonov. So I mean, we just got so many forwards on this team. Like, good forwards. So I think a lot of it depends on who he plays with as well. So I think that's TBD. This one is kind of a point counterpoint, a general take. With the fact that Stankoven is likely in the AHL to start and the lack of improvement on the blue line, I don't feel the front office sees this as a true cup window. I think we will compete, but next year is when I think they go all in. I agree with it to a point. I do not agree that the front office doesn't see this as a true cup window.
Right. Yeah.
Because that window is wide open and it's going to be for, I think, a while.
That window is as long as Miro and Rope's contract lasts currently.
Yeah.
With, I think, even a wider window once we can get
after 25.
Ben and Sagan. Yeah.
Yeah, because then you get rid of Ben, and maybe not get rid of them, but bring them back on veteran minimum style contracts, at least like a 1.5, 2.5, somewhere in that realm.
Made an eligible
contract. Yeah.
And then you have that money to extend Jake Oettinger, because he's restricted in 25, 26. So that works out almost seamlessly. I don't see Ben and Sagan playing anywhere else in their career.
No.
Said the same thing about Mike Modano, and then he played in Detroit. So,
yeah, but he came back, right?
Well, for a day. Yeah.
And then now he has a great relationship with the organization, right?
The best with the front office.
Yeah, I got to say that I'm with you guys. I mean, I don't necessarily see this as the front office doesn't see this as a window. I think they see this as a window, and even, like you said, an even bigger window come 25. So you have to kind of keep this team competitive and afloat, and then see what we have in 24 and 25. You know, I think this is a season where it's really going to be put to the test. And in the next 7 years of this organization, I think are going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's just like you guys said. As long as Rupe and Miro are holding it down, you know Robo's probably going to get a contract extension at 26, 27, if not before. I think that 25, 26, or, well, Sagan doesn't come off the books until 27, 28. But Ben, that 9.5 with the cap increase at 25, 26, he's going to sign for a lot less. Robo's going to get an extension. Ottinger's going to get an extension. That's probably where that money is going to go from the Jamie Benn contract. And then, you know, who knows? Who knows? Like, Bixell could be back or could be up. We haven't even talked about Thomas Harley and the fact that he played absolutely lights out in the playoffs for a guy who literally got put in the NHL towards the end of the season. For an extended period of time, this team is set up to play well. And then the most beautiful, my favorite part of 25-26 is Ryan Suter is an unrestricted free agent. God help us all if he makes it that far. God help us all. Okay, last one. Of course I saved it. Stanley Cup. The beautiful cup. I think, I mean, you're a top four team last season with a goalie who was tired, a defense that was exposed, and you were still one of the last four teams in the playoffs. I feel really, really confident that this team will at least be back in the Western Conference final going into next season. If not the Western Conference representative in the Stanley Cup final. There's just too few changes. If they can get Ryan Suter to even buy in to the fact that he is not the guy that he once was, he's going to eat minutes up in the regular season. So be it.
Get him off the power play.
Exactly. Get him off the power play.
If Thomas Hartley isn't running the second unit, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
And you know what? Nils Lundqvist is a... I don't want to say this in a negative light, and I say this as a compliment, because Miro is so in his own stratosphere of defensemen in the NHL, because not only is he a potent point scorer, but he is a solid defenseman. Nils Lundqvist can be your dollar general Miro Heiskanen. If he can do half the work that Miro does and maybe score, because I think Lundqvist is a little bit more offensive minded. I think if we can get the same offensive production out of Lundqvist with 75% of the defensive production versus Miro, then there's your number two guy. You put Lundqvist on the second line, that because he's not that big. Then you've got Miro and Essa, maybe, you know, Lundqvist and Hakanpää or Lundqvist and Harley. Let Lundqvist and Harley take that second power play. And, you know, I think that Jim Neal is putting a lot into Lundqvist. Maybe that's why we haven't seen him make a move on the blue line outside of the extension of Hanley or the signing of Bayreuther. But, you know, barring them not making any moves for the blue line going into the rest of the offseason, I think a lot of this weighs on Lundqvist and what he is able to do next season. Because let's face it, we're only paying him $925,000, but we gave up two top picks for him, or a first and a second round to New York. So, you know, the time is now. Like, I think this is his true audition, whether or not we're going to give him over $1 million moving forward. So, but yeah, I think the cup is quite possible. I'm going to say it's lukewarm again, but I think it's way more in reach than I think some of us may realize.
I agree.
And it feels good. It feels real good. And not to mention, we do have some draft, you know, we do have some chips that we can throw around. Because we have a first and a second, and then a fifth and a seventh in the next year's draft. We have a first round in the 25, round three. We have two round five picks, one of those from New Jersey in the Colin Miller trade. And then we have every single round in 2026. So there are trade chips on top of, you know, hey, we need you to take this player so we can get a little cap space. Also, we'll throw you a, you know, a third round and maybe a second round in 2026. So, but yeah, just huge thanks to the French Fries for shooting those hot takes at us. Really appreciate it. Love when we get you guys involved. Love when you send us your opinions. Keep doing so. Maybe we'll bring these up more and more as the off season goes on and throughout the regular season as well. Again, thank you to all of the supporters of the podcast, Conway and Banks, Sauce Toss, Third Line Draft, Nice Mitts now. Just appreciate all the support from all you guys. We missed you. Yeah, I'm definitely going to go to Finland in December. So just going to sprinkle that in there. Shout out to the friend over in Finland that sent us an email and said, I'll even pick you up from the airport. We'll go get some wings and beer when you land. What a Finland's so nice. I love the Finnish people. But yeah, that's all I've got. If you guys got anything, say it now or forever hold your peace. Otherwise, let's wrap this shit.
Yeah, shout out to Henry, man.
Yeah. Quitos, Henry. It's thank you in Finnish.
There you go.
And that's the only word I know.
What else do you need?
Nothing. Nothing.
Speaking of nothing, I got nothing.
I got nothing left.
All right, let's wrap it. Pat, shut it down.
Yep, stay sassy.
And stay moist.
And don't, for any reason, even if you still have Ryan Suter on your defense, forget your Kermit tattoos. Can't believe they didn't buy him out.
Yeah,
man can dream.
Dare to.
Yeah.
Yeah.